Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to the Michelle Collins Show. It's my show, and I'm thrilled you're here. We're going to be bringing you episodes every single week with different co-hosts, the same usual nonsense, off-the-cuff humor, news, advice, pop culture. I know it's a novel concept for a podcast, but what can I say? I'm an innovator. That's what I do. You'll be getting episodes every week, but if you want to hear daily episodes, you can head over to my Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/MishCall, MichColl. I have co-hosts every single day. It's funny. It's loose. It's authentic. I do weekly episodes with my mother. If you're curious as to how someone is made this way, I highly recommend tuning into those and some video content as well, which is exciting. I'm off to contour, but I want you to enjoy this episode. It's fabulous. We adore you and we look forward to seeing you over on the Patreon. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Collins. I'm huskier than usual. I knew you didn't think it was possible. Let me prove you wrong today. It's midnight snack. I'm here live early in the morning. I like our early morning shows because it's like I just had a sleepover with Dan, a friend, total friend sleepover. Just two pals. Platonic is the word. That's how you know it's early. Couldn't come to my brain. It's the one and only Dan Acton. Dan, it's just an absolute pleasure to hear your voice.
Morning, Michelle. I used to shop in the Husky section when I was a kid, so.
Oh, goodbye. And that's our show. That is where our Venn diagrams do, like, give each other. Am I allowed to say Eskimo kiss these days? Can we talk about the Eskimos? I don't know. What, the Inuit kiss? What would I call it? with our Venn diagrams just slightly grazing each other's shoulders in the cantaloupe aisle of the Winn-Dixie. Okay, I'm stressed. I woke up. Dutch tax people, I paid them every 3 months saying I never paid them. Do you know I had to take screenshots this morning? You know how annoying that is? Hate that. And how can I trust a tax man who doesn't even know that I've been paying him this entire time? It's confusing is what it is, Dan. The Dutch tax man, great Beatles song. I'm fine. It's early. I'm okay. My mom is very sick again.
Oh no.
It's been a total pleasure being home, just coughing, hacking away. And the thing about it, which I'll just add is frustrating, and I'm sure they'll hear this, is that I like to help them. I like to help anyone. I like, first of all, I'm shopping nearly every effing day. I have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So it's like I walk and I shop and that's it. And so I'll say to them, can I go to the supermarket for you? Can I do this? Can I do that? And they're they don't like accepting my help.
Mm.
And it's, and then I'll tell you this, when they do accept it, I'll tell you what happened at dinner last night. But are your parents like that? Or maybe it's just, they still look at me like they're kids. So they don't want me to help. It's weird.
No, they're fine with me helping. They're like, they'll sit back and let me rake the lawn or whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
Do you say rake the lawn? Oh. See, even that, we don't have a lawn. But I know if we did, I couldn't rake it. And that's frustrating for me. I would like to. No, I went yesterday. Hey, it's such a funny thing happened yesterday. I was dying to tell you. Could not wait for the show today. So as mentioned previously, I have nothing to do here. Genuinely, I've been to the outlet so many times that they're like, Michelle. I walk into my one store and they're like, hey. I'm like, what I miss? What's new? The new merchandise? What's going on? I come in, it's mental illness personified. And they're very nice to me. They accept me, which is nice. But yesterday,
one of us.
Really, though. No, I joked. I'm like, should I get a job here? I'm here. And a woman was like, honestly, we get great discounts. I was like, is this my future? Is this working at the outlets?
I mean, for the holidays, that'd be fun.
Listen, remember when Nikki Blonsky worked at a shoe store in Long Island and everyone went, oh no, look at her working at a shoe store. No shame in it at all. Believe me, I've worked in stores. I would work there in a minute. Yeah. It's just, I can't handle the, you know, pop tings tweet that would come out about me working at the outlets.
They would find you. Yeah.
Oh, pop tings is on my tail, honey. Pop Crave, Pop Tings, all of them. They're all up in my space. I need space. Anyway, so I leave the house yesterday and I did actually go to the mall. You know, I'm also in the market for some Apple products while I'm here, you know.
Oh, okay.
and I went to the Apple store and I did the Grandpa Simpson. There were so many people there. I literally walked in, hung my hat, looked around, left. I didn't go in. I said, right. I can't do it. I took some calls in the mall. That was fun. A lot of Mariah playing in the background. In the meantime, I'm driving around. When I say aimlessly, like if I saw a sign that was like bridges out, like in Speed, I would have kept going. I just had nothing to do. I had nothing to do. And it hit me that there was this movie that everyone's been buzzing about, especially Pop Tings, that I really wanted to see. And I thought, maybe let me see if there's a showing anywhere near where I am. And I looked at around 3:45 is when I did the Google search. And I saw that at a theater 5 minutes away, it had just started.
Okay.
I figured I'll miss the trailers, even if I miss the first 5 minutes. So I speed. So the movie, and it's a good one, Saltburn. Have you seen it?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's impossible to see it and not leave wanting something. You want, I don't know, like you want something when you walk out. You're like, God, I fucking need something. Whether it's Jacob Elordi, which is, I mean, that Jacob Elordi. My God, it's really tough because it's a movie about a guy who's obsessed with him. And it, what I'm calling it is The Talented Mr. Gen Z. Because it's basically the Gen Z Ripley. It's Ripley.
I like that, yeah.
It's pretty good, right? Thank you. Yeah, I was very proud of myself. First, I came up with Wes Anderson's Talented Mr. Ripley because it's a bit of that too. But Talented Mr. Gen Z is really, I was pretty proud of myself for that one.
Done. Moving on, yeah.
Yeah, pop it out the oven, let it cool. Leave it on the sill, have the smoke, bring some skunks over. I'm going to go ahead with this analogy. Anyway. So I see Saltburn. So I walk, there's a theater on 163rd Street here in North Miami Beach, also the same street my high school is on, called, it's an iPick theater. Now I knew it was a fancy, quote unquote, fancy theater. I'd never been there before, but I've heard rumor that it's one of those fancy ones. And I was also starving. What I really was going to do was go to Houston's and have a salad by the bar, but I figured I'll just eat like, you know, sweet tarts. I don't know. I'm hungry. Right. Like I need to eat.
Have. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, I go in. There is not a there. It's tumbleweeds in the parking lot. No one's there. And it's a, connected to a TJ Maxx and, funny enough, a Winn-Dixie. I got Dixie on the brain. So I park my car. I go in. No one is there. There's a girl working behind the thing to sell the tickets. And I was like, Len for Saltburn. You know, it's exciting. Yeah. And I said, and, you know, I talk to everyone. I'm unbearable in Miami. I mean, best and worst version. I have to chat everybody up. I can't help it. And I said, busy theater, a lot of people in there. Like I knew it was going to be empty, obviously. And because, you know, she brings up the thing to pick the seat, which I love picking my seat.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, is the screen here? I go, is it busy? She goes, you have a private showing. And she was immune to my humor, by the way. It didn't matter if I was being funny. She was just stone faced. I should bring her on as like a co-host with me one day to try to crack her because she was not having it. And I think it was more like her personality because she was nice and she just was not, you know, no laughs detected.
Right. Professional.
So professional. You know. So I was like, oh, is the screen here? And she goes, don't worry, I picked a seat for you. Wait.
Okay.
I'm like, so I went, oh, thank you. She goes, it's the best seat of the house. I went, oh, thank you. That's so nice. Thank you. You know, and she, I said, are there people there? She goes, private screen. It's your theater. It's all for you. I was like, really? I go, I don't think that's ever happened to me before. Great. I'll pick my own seat. I'll just sit wherever the fuck I want.
Like, can you yell like, rewind? What did he say?
Hey, No, in my mind, I'm like, this is great. I can watch it like I'd watch it at home with my phone open. You know, I can just chill. Then I said to her, oh, do I have time to buy popcorn? She looked at me like I just got off a spaceship. She went, time to buy popcorn? They come to your seat. There's a menu. It's one of those.
Oh, one of those. Okay.
So I was like, this is great. Lucky me. I get to order for my seat. I don't even have to wait in line. So anyway, I walk into the theater. It is empty. And as I'm stepping in, it's probably 10 minutes after showtime. It comes up a blank production. Like it had just started. I thought, oh,
perfect.
Oh, just meant to be that I'm in the theater. Anyway, I did pick a seat. I think it was maybe the seat you picked, but I will own that I picked a seat. Best seat in the house. I figured this must be the seat you gave me. By far the best seat in the house. I sit down. Now I could have lied in the story and been like, this is the seat she picked for me. I will admit she said F5. I have to see, because it may have been what she picked for me. I remember she was like center, like So the seat I had was the center, like one from the back, plunked in the middle.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sitting, the movie starts. It's just great. I mean, it's beautiful. That Barry Hogan, however the hell you say his name, he's really an ugly hot king. Because he's not hot. Like when you're looking at him, you're like, he's kind of weird looking. But
yeah,
by the end of this movie, you want him so badly. It's not even funny. Like, it's like, I walked out with that yearning. Like, you know, when you see, and you know, it's psychotic. You understand how stalkers are born. Because I don't know these people. You know, it's exciting. And then you're like, I wouldn't
get that from his Wikipedia picture. That's not what I'm getting. But
he is so good in it. Well, it's the same way that Matt Damon and Ripley, while maybe you don't want him in that way, but he's so talented in it that you walk out with like a crush, like just like, fuck, like, you know, one of my favorite movies ever. So wait. So I'm sitting there and there's a little button you can press to bring your server over. So of course I'm like, beep, and I don't see a menu or anything. There's a QR code. It's pitch freaking black in the theater. So my phone's not reading it. I mean, come on. So anyway, comes in. I don't even want to, she had a funny name. She was so nice, by the way. Her name is Mallory. I'll just say it, because Mallory is a funny one. Mallory comes in. I didn't even know if she worked there. I thought she was maybe someone from the parking lot who came to sit next to me, put it that way. Like, she's so sweet, but I wasn't 100% sure if she was an employee, you know? And she came in and she sat, which I guess makes sense, but I'm thinking, would you just sit next? If the theater were full, would you also sit next to them? She like sat next to me.
Oh, interesting.
On the steps, okay. But still, but like, right. We were like nose to nose and I said, oh, is there a man? And I'm like, oh, I'm being so nice, obviously, you know, just like excited. Sure. And I said, wow. I said, private screening, lucky me, you know? And she was again, not laughing. I said, oh, can I have a menu? She goes, and she was nice. She brings me a menu and she's sitting next to me while I'm like with my flashlight, like looking at what's on tap at iPick, you know? And I said, oh, how's the chicken Caesar salad wrap? Huge mistake, by the way. Huge mistake. Am I sick? Get fries and like chicken wings or like nuggets. What am I doing? But and now I'm getting fancy at the iPick with the salad. Right. I'm sick. So I was like, oh, how's the chicken Caesar salad wrap? And she went, it's like real. It's the best. She said the best thing in the menu. I went, oh. I have it. I said, oh, it's a private screening, right? I go, it's exciting. Is it only me? She goes, no, we have someone else coming in. This is a twist now. She goes, someone else is coming. Uh-oh. I go, someone else? Where are they sitting? She takes her phone out, like whatever the system is. Tip, tip, tap, tip. She goes, and then the person's name comes up in huge letters. And her name is Rebecca Smith, whatever.
Okay.
And it's Rebecca Smith. And she goes, oh, she's sitting right next to you.
Oh, come on.
The whole theater is empty. And she goes, she's sitting right. You're going to die. She goes, she's sitting right next to you. And I went, oh, that's funny. And as she's saying this to me, I hear the doors squeak open. The movie has started.
Yeah, the movie's halfway through.
It's an hour in. And I feel a presence. And this woman comes up the steps. She, by the way, it was a chilly day out in Miami yesterday. Chilly being it was like 68 degrees and everyone's in their furs. Okay, it's like LA in that way. And Rebecca was in like a tank top dress that was like just past the lips. I mean, just barely dressed. And she comes in and I went, Rebecca? And
she went,
yeah, of course. Come on. <What? laughs> So why do I know her name? Why did her name? You're telling me that that Mallory can see my full name? I mean, it's weird. It's like, okay. I went, Rebecca? And she went, hi.
From Pop Chips or whatever the.
Pop Teens.
Pop Teens.
Pop Chips. They're also after me, by the way. Pop Chips, they've got my number. Everyone. I can't work at the outlets. Pop Chips is going to come in there. They're going to figure it. They're going to crack it. I can't. Anyway, so Rebecca comes in and she's very sweet, by the way. She's super nice. So I was like, Rebecca, she went, yeah, I went, hi. She has her ticket in her hand, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, we're the only two people in the theater. A normal, by the way, I wasn't like dead center. I was like one off from center and it was in a four seat and they're reclining seats. They're like beds, basically.
Right.
It's been like a four seat row. She could have easily just gone on the other side, you know, the two seats between or even one seat between.
Right.
And we would have had a great time. And I honestly would have stayed because whatever, she seemed nice and normal or whatever.
Yeah.
She sits down directly next to me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, the whole theater is empty. Dan. And she, and by the way, I'm not a small person, neither Rebecca. She plops herself down next to me. I'm going, this cannot be real happening to me. And I was so comfortable. You know, I've already like toasted my feet up. My bag is tucked in. I'm like, it comes with blankets, which obviously I'm not going to touch the blankets of the IPIC theater. So I like move the blanket to that seat. She moves them over one.
It's a blanket.
Yeah. And sits down. I really was caught off guard by that. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm seriously such an old Jewish woman. It's not even funny. Cause then I went, Rebecca, if you're hungry, Mallory's here. Like I knew everyone's name. I'm like, Rebecca, you should order because Mallory's here now. And she went, oh, and so Mallory waited for her. I mean, it was nice. We had like, it was very friendly, obviously. But I was in shock. I'm thinking, this is a real social cues question.
Yeah.
Even if your seat were assigned. Now, to be fair, you could say, Michelle, you're in the wrong. Well, I did move, by the way. That's the thing, is that seconds later, I went, it was very sweet. I said, oh, I'll change seats. Don't you worry. So we have space. I just moved one row behind. It was great.
Yeah.
But it was just, that is a, so I had no issue moving. It was an empty theater.
Well, okay. So I did that with, I think it was West Side Story. Like it was a similar thing where like the empty theater. And then eventually somebody came and sat next to me. But the thing is like, if it is reserved, you don't know if in the middle of the movie, when you're ogling whatever his name is, at a bad time, somebody's going to be like, oh, actually, I booked this seat and going to, I don't know. It's
no,
hard.
I know what you mean, but 3:45 on a Wednesday, I think we were sick. But
yeah,
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And maybe she wasn't annoying with that girl at the front being like, full theater. So no problem. I got up. I was fine to move. I moved one row back. And then funny enough, three people did come in and it was a mom and her kids. Oh my God. Ugh. And credit to them, they sat way far away from us. I was like, oh, those are my kind of people. Look how far. And it was like, not a small theater. I'm like, you plop yourself right here. I couldn't believe it. I was then to Rebecca's credit. And it was funny because then it was really still like just the two of us watching because the family was kind of far.
Yeah.
We laughed at like all the exact same times, like even weird times we would laugh. And I was like, we should be friends. I should have stayed. Like then I got mad. I know. I thought she has a great sense of humor. She was like, I felt
you should
like
have moved back.
Got it. I should have moved back.
Excuse me. I think this is actually going to work out.
Rebecca, you seem great. I need friends. Let's make this work.
Meanwhile, Mallory has to reboot the system every time you like move to a different seat.
100%. By the way, never saw her again. Mallory never came back. It was a different woman brought me my wrap, by the way, wearing two latex gloves, finger on the plate, like slammed it down. Huh. What? I know.
What do you think that's about?
She was probably the chef. And then it was terrible. I mean, the fries were bad even. Like everything was bad. Of course, I was just happy to have anything in front of me. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I ate as much as I could, like, you know, choke down. But then the funniest thing is about 10 minutes from the end of the film, and it is a long movie. One note about it, and this is a real pet peeve I have with films. Hmm. There were like six fake endings. There were six moments that could have ended. You know what movie has that? No Country for Old Men. Has a lot of fake endings where I always felt like,
it has like denouement and like
they cut to Tommy Lee. I don't need to hear from him or whoever. No, that was No Country for Old Men.
Yeah,
he was in that, right? Yeah, I don't need to hear. I love him, by the way. I don't need to hear from him and his wife in the trailer. Cut the end it. Everyone's dead. Thank you very much. I'd like to go to my car now. Like that movie, A Star is Born, I feel like in my memory could have caught like an hour, but that's not a fake ending. It's more like edit.
It's just like too long. Yeah. Once she's like banging and like breaking the poster in the frame on the hallway, I was like, oh boy, this has got to go.
One of the worst movies, by the way. In retrospect, we were all trying to support our girl, Lady Gaga.
Yeah. It was... I don't know. That was such a fantastic like moment for like the whole. I felt like the whole world. It was like back to Titanic days where like everybody had to see this movie.
Right.
So long. I thought it was cool when she gets out on the stage and you see like millions of people watching her. That's the only thing I remember from that. Oh, and the pee, you know, and him peeing himself, obviously. But like,
one of the funniest. Him peeing himself on stage. He had to know it was going to be one of the funniest things to ever be on screen.
Were people laughing when you saw that? Because like I could feel everybody like clenching their teeth to not like react to the series.
Let me tell you something. Rebecca was on the floor. Rebecca was like shooting tears. I mean, yes, it was funny. It's how can you have this guy in a khaki suit stand behind her on stage of the Grammys and piss himself like on SNL? I mean, it's like a Chris Farley bit. You can't do that. There are ways to show that he had a drinking problem without, you know, hooking him up to a hose. There were different ways he could have done that. I mean, I just felt like...
Well, I think he does that in Maestro, too. I think he's doing that from now on.
He pisses himself. Please, he always has to have a bit. In Maestro, it's like a big hook nose. He always has to have something going on, that Bradley Cooper. Anyway, I'm a little sick of him. But anyway, Saltburn, just to give my review for people who have seen it or who haven't, I won't spoil anything. I really enjoyed it. The fake ending thing was annoying. And actually, I did text a friend who was the one, my friend Dave, who's like, you have to see it. Being like, I'm a little confused. At one point, when I really thought it was over, I was waiting for the credits to roll because it just felt so, this is the end moment. Yeah, and I texted to be like, I'm a little lost. Like, I have plot questions. And he was like, oh, don't worry. Just wait for the end. I was like, pardon? And then it was like 15 more minutes of different ending scenes, including one that literally tells you everything that you have questions about. So if you're watching it and you're like a little bit like, am I dumb? You're not dumb. You just have to sit there for 2 hours and seven minutes until it's over.
Mm-hmm. All right. They should have done like Clue and you could like pick the ending that you want to see.
You know, now we're getting somewhere. I agree. I miss those. Let me for once pick my own adventure. Why are people always picking the adventure for me? I want to pick my own. I've had it. Anyway, that's funny. God, you're smart. I pick. And then by the way, what I was going to say is 10 minutes from the end, I heard like the door kind of open, which is also when I thought, oh, it's got to be over now because they're like prepping for the stampede of five people that are going to leave when it's over.
Right.
And there was like a huge fight going on outside between two people, like really screaming at each other. And it was loud. Like you could clearly hear it in the theater. And I thought, okay. And so I was just sitting and the movie was great. Great music. Everybody was good in it. Everyone. Rosamund Pike, love her. What's his name? Richard E. Grant, who I've interviewed.
By the way,
Richard E. Grant, who, you know, very tragically lost his wife recently, which was very sad. But he, when he came into the studio at Sirius, first thing this man asked, he goes, what happened on The View? It was like, what? Like, first of all, he's English. He was such a little gossip, but it was funny. Like, he's very charming beyond, you know. It was funny, but he came and tell me everything, what's the gossip? And I thought, you little scamp, don't ask me that. Who are you? But he's very good in it too. And but that Jacob, I'm telling you, you're watching it, the casting is so brilliant because there are so few actors of that generation now who I would give it all up to spend a night with. They all look like kids to me for the most part, you know. They're all young. Like Timothy Chalamet, sorry, I would not. I appreciate him. Go on.
Yeah, I like him as an actor, but like the way he's treated as like a sex symbol, I'm like, wow, I'm like, that's from another planet. Like,
an alien planet. I can see that he's adorable. You want to adore him. I want to, you know, brush his hair at a sleepover and like bring him chocolate, you know, but not in a totally platonic way, I promise. As creepy as that sounds, I want to dress them up like a little dolly and prop them up on the bed. Totally not creepy. No, but this Jacob, oh my God. And you know who else doesn't do it for me? And I got into a little thing with my mom about it, is that Austin Butler, the guy who played Elvis, maybe because I hated Elvis so much, not just the man, but also the movie, that it does not, he just does not do it for me. But that Jacob, he is like, I've turned into like a Jewish aunt. That Jacob. he's so fucking hot in it. You will shit. It's beyond. I'm telling you, it's Ripley too. The same way that you saw Jude Law that first time.
Yeah.
I mean, Jude still has Jacob beat, because Jude Law to me in that movie is from an alien planet of God tier men. Like there's no one comes close to him for me. Sorry.
Really need to see it. Like I've been hearing so much about it, but like.
Saltburn, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Saltburn.
No, it's really, it's good. I've heard that people hate it. I mean, listen, there are parts that are, I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. I also never go to the movies anymore. So when I'm in a movie, I feel like I'm in Cinema Paradiso. I'm thinking, yeah. Wow, look at that big screen. Unbelievable. Just so exciting to be in a film, as they say in Finland.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same, like I bought tickets. I'm going to see a movie on Saturday, and I bought the tickets like 3 weeks in advance. I'm like, I can't wait. I'm like looking forward to it so much. Like,
what movie? Just
the new Miyazaki movie.
What is it called?
The Boy and the Crane, I think.
Oh,
so, Fraser Crane. Yeah. Yeah, Boy and the Fraser Crane.
That would be a great movie. They need
Heron.
To...
No, I really fucked up. It's The Boy and the Heron.
Oh, and the Heron, the Fraser Heron.
Yeah.
It's The Boy and the Fraser Heron. Oh, The Boy and the Heron. Okay, yeah. I don't know a lot of his work.
It's,
so I can't speak.
It's
to
a
it.
Big deal because it's like 10 years between movies, and every time he puts out one, he's like, "I'm going to retire forever." But they're always, they're usually like pretty great. So,
pulling a Cher on us.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, this was a fun one for me. Then I have to tell you the other thing that happened. So then I leave the film. Oh, so mind you, you know, there was like an argument happening in the lobby.
Yeah.
And they were still going at it when the movie ended. And I walk out, it was the chefs in the kitchen fighting with each other. Loud.
Oh, come on.
Can you believe?
Like Fawlty Towers or something?
Yes. Like, and by the way, you know how you knew? Because there was no customers there, certainly. So it has to be the people working there.
They were slapping each other in the cheek with like the rubber.
A glove.
Yeah.
With the rubber glove. By the way, there's like a full bar. It had the element there. It did have majorly creepy energy in that theater because there's also a full bar called the Tuck Room, which should have been the drag name, should have been the name of the after show. But it's called the Tuck Room. And there was a bartender and there was no one there. And it's huge. So you just walk out. It was 6 p.m. I hope people do go to that theater because it really is nice. Like the seats were comfy. It was overall, it cost me $50 though in total between the ticket, the wrap, my drink, $50. It's a lot for a film. I mean,
that is, yeah.
On a Wednesday afternoon, go on.
There's something about like creepy bars in these big fancy movie theaters. Like in Alamo Drafthouse, they have that bar. Did you ever go to it? It's like filled with these like disgusting like wax.
I have.
The medical historical wax, like really disgusting. Not
it
like,
has like
oh,
mannequins.
It like
I
makes
think
you
that,
want to vomit.
It's like mannequins where like the skin is peeled back from the scalp and like eyeballs are exposed. It kind of has like a body's exhibit, but
yes.
From you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not energy a little bit when you go in there. And it just, you do look at it. I mean, I'm easily like grossed out and I'm okay with it, but I agree. It's a choice. It's like trying to be weird for the sake of, look how weird this is. Would you like a Diet Pepsi? You know?
Yeah. Dude, all this stuff is in a mall. It just seems like unholy. Like I don't want to be here.
No, it's cursed is what it is. Cause also they're authentic dummies. They're from the actual medical schools. Yeah. Meanwhile, we've just sent 500 people there. Everyone's like, we got to check out this theater in Brooklyn. So anyway, I get in the car and now my mom is sick, coughing. Don't even ask what's going on in this house. It's like, I'm telling you, secret garden, wicker wheelchairs. It's a whole thing. And so I text them again, daughter who wants to help. Of course, what can I bring? Supermarket, what can I bring?
Sure.
My mom was like, we want something I haven't had since being here, Chipotle for dinner. Okay. Now, when was the last time you had Chipotle, Dan?
It was a couple of years ago, and I think it was like $25 for
really?
A steak bowl. Yeah, it was so expensive.
Oh, you know, it's cheap here, actually. I'll tell you. So so my mom was like, we want burrito bowls, the bowls, chicken bowl from Chipotle.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually love Chipotle. I especially when I was doing keto, was like addicted to it because you can do like a delicious fattening, basically a bowl of sour cream and be like, I love this diet. It's fabulous, like cheese and sour cream. Just being like, I am a health goddess. This is crazy. But I'm eating everything now. So I'm like, okay, so I'll go get us Chipotle because I haven't had it. And actually they have it in, I just want to note, this is going to be relatable content. I love when I get into it. Paris and London has Chipotle. So when I'm there, I always get it because I can't get it in Amsterdam. And I do enjoy it. Like, I like, you know, it's good.
It is good. Like for like the, that kind of thing, for that like genre of restaurant, it's the best one, I think.
No, I agree. Totally. Yeah. Oh, wait, until yesterday. So, and I also always talk up the Chipotle employees because they are, I mean, it is the hardest job, I believe, in food industry. I've never been to a Chipotle where the line is not out the door. They're working there like drill sergeants, scooping rice and everything. I mean, it's craziness. And people are so cold to them. Like, chicken, no cheese. You know, they're just so rude. And
well, yeah. There's
and
another
I get
thing.
It.
Yeah.
What? Go tell me.
Well, there's another thing like there's another element to it. It is because you're watching people do it. I will always try to finagle a little bit more of whatever I'm asking. So there's like psyops going on where you're like, get a half a, I don't really do this, but I've considered it. Like you get a half a scoop and you're like, oh, actually I wanted that other one. And then like, see if you can get both. Ugh.
Oh, that's, I've never done that. You know what I do, which I've talked about? I've just charm them to death.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how are you? I mean, that what I just did sounded so annoying. I'm surprised they even scoop anything into the bowl.
The line gets twice as long behind you.
I'm like, and then my phone rang. And I'm thinking, he's going to call me now after everything he said. It's just like someone in a shower cap looking at me. I'm like, anyway, can I do the tomato salsa? All right. So I'm in line. There's a fairly long line, not crazy though.
Yeah.
And it does seem to me, it's Swedish chef levels of chaos happening behind the glass. I don't know how to explain it in any other way. There was just, it was messy. And then normally they keep it fairly neat. Now I got to shout out my Chipotle from my old neighborhood in New York in Morningside Heights. There was one on 111th and Broadway. They were my best friends. I used to go there. That's where I used to get those keto bowls. The line would be snaking out the door. Always very young people working there. The nicest, by the way, professional, sweet as sugar, and they always were almost always sweet. I'm sure, you know, forget having a bad day, this and that. Yeah. Now, were the lines long? Yeah, but guess what? It was very clean. I never felt like it was chaotic. You know, they had it down to a science.
Yeah. And you get personal attention. Yep.
Yeah, no, they were just sweet. Like I really always I actually remember, this was a story I've told before, where I wrote a letter to corporate complimenting them because they were so nice. Like one of the girls got pregnant and she was so cute. Like they were just sweet as sugar.
Yeah.
And I went back to be like, did they ever, you know, I wrote something nice. And they were like, no, they only read us the mean ones. And I lost my mind. I talked about that on the air when that happened.
Terrible.
The fuck is that? Oh, I got really pissed. Anyway, so I will not be writing a letter about the Aventura Chipotle. Let me tell you what happened. So, and by the way, they were fine. They were sweet, but hear me out. So now it's my turn. There's like 50 people behind the counter. There's 100 chickens smoking on the grill. They're the whole, you know, it's almost like an autopsy table where they do the scooping, covered in food. There's just smears of things. There's tomatoes. I see rice.
Yeah.
So they're like, we got no black beans. And oh, and by the way, having to have my parents send an order where normal people would just be like chicken, rice, beans, tomato, this and that. My mom, it's like reading James Joyce, figuring out what my mom wants in her Chipotle bowl. I'm like, okay, I got to rewind 5 days ago. Did she want corn in it? I don't know. So it's very, so it's an art also figuring that shit out. So I'm, you know, deciphering the Zodiac killer, figuring out what's going in the bowl. This guy's like, why am I turning into Dennis Miller all of a sudden? I'm deciphering the Zodiac. What is going on? Anyway. And they're like, we don't have any black beans, and also card or exact change only, which was fine. I'm paying card, but they were, I said, no problem. Exact change. I said, break the piggy bank open, people, for your bowl. I said, no problem at all. So, and of course, you know, they were friendly people. I feel for them. It is stressful. I'm stressed watching them. I'm like, holy shit. Like how, and then they have to come home like stinking of the grill. I mean, it sucks. I really, people who work in the food industry, I'm always thinking, coming home smelling like the kitchen would be the thing that sends me over the edge. I couldn't do it. Like it's nothing but respect. But anyway, so I was like, rice. Now I have to do 3 bowls. I mean, my brain, I had smoke shooting out of my ears. I'm like, no beans, cheese, figuring out.
You're like the maestro trying to like get all this to work together.
I had a churro wand and I tapped it against the glass. There's beans, rice, this chicken.
That'd be a good commercial.
Honestly,
pitch that for Chipotle. Yeah,
it's really a good commercial. We're such idiots. Why do we not make money? All right. So wait. So I have another story, but I think I might have to save it for next week because I'm still unpacking it. Sometimes things happen that I can't tell right away. My brain still has to compute, you know, what's going on. Anyway, my point is that I had to put these 3 bowls together. I got grilled chicken. No black. I don't eat beans anyway, so for me it was fine. My parents got the regular beans. Now, to their credit, when I say they were given the heavy scoops, I could barely lift the bag. I thought the bag was going to home alone on the way to the car. It was so heavy. I actually thought, three people are going to eat what's in this bag. There has to be, it's got to be 47 pounds of food in here. I mean, it was so heavy, but it was such a sloppy bowl. Like the whole, it was so messy there. Every container had different foods in it. You know, when you get like the spare raisin at the salad bar, like everything.
Oh, right, right.
And then, and they were really sweet. You know, it's probably kids doing it. Like, very nice people.
And like hurrying, and they're in like factory mode where we have to like process all these people
as fast as possible. Yeah. I'm still giving them credit, by the way, hats off. Yeah. But when we got home, the bowls were covered in sour cream. Every bowl had just sour cream all over it. Like, that's gross, you know?
Yeah, that's...
And then we open it and we start eating it and my mouth is on fire, and they gave us this spicy chicken, which like my mom is sick. I don't like that either. It really, every bite my mouth was on fire. I ended up throwing almost the whole thing out. You know, it just wasn't, that was a miss. My dad liked it, but it just, it did not have, it actually was good for me because sometimes I need to have a bad experience to break the cycle and not go back. And I feel like for me, this was it. Like I'm off it now, at least in the States, I'm good with Chipotle for at least 5 years. I know it just did not hit for me. Yeah.
That's so funny. Like I was so grateful in a way that like there was this like really convenient, there is a really convenient restaurant, not good for me. I would order it all the time. And about like 8 years ago, I got food poisoning and I'm just like, can never go back. And I'm like, thank you.
No, like... really. Thank you. This would be a fun thread in the Patreon comments. Speaking of which, we should probably throw to part two. So we're going to throw to part two of the show. But what we should do is everyone who's a patron, and if you're not, you can go sign up for a free trial. It's patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. Head over there for a free trial. This is a fun thread. Where did you get food poisoning? What restaurant have you never gone back to after they made you sick? Now, what I like about that is break me. I want you to break me, because there are places I pray to God. I have never known anyone, and you're going to laugh when I say this, but I swear, who has gotten sick from Taco Bell. I'm not talking just like your typical diarrhea. I'm talking full blown diarrhea. We accept
full blown seeds. Yeah.
Full blown food poisoning. I've never gotten it from Taco Bell.
No, nope. Or McDonald's. I haven't.
Genuinely, or McDonald's. I've eaten it hungover and felt sick, but not from the food itself. No.
No.
Let us know in the comments. I had a place, Pomodoro, on the Upper West Side, which I had dinner at so many years ago, and it messed up my digestive system for honestly like 6 months to a year. I was never the same after that dinner. And you know, it's funny, if anyone who watches Seinfeld, it was the pasta primavera, which is a reference, but it really was. And actually the guy that I was having dinner with, he wasn't the kind of guy that I would be like, are you not going to the bathroom right for 6 months? You know, I would never bring it up. Yeah. And then way down the line, somehow it came up and he was like, I was sick for months after that dinner. I said, isn't that funny? Me too. The two of us got sick. So avoid Pomodoro, never went back. I'm trying to think where else. I think that might be, this is a fabulous episode to release. People are going to love this. Where have you gotten sick? I don't know. It's interesting because I want to know where to avoid.
My friend got really sick when we went to Hong Kong. So,
well, say no more. That's 10 grand in my pocket. Thanks. All right. Well, listen,
I had a great night. I was like, I get the party on my own. So anyway,
well, for those who are patrons, you can stay right here. And for those who aren't, go over to patreon.com/mishcall, sign up for a free trial. You can go back, hear the episodes, and then just stick with us. We have new episodes every single day of the show. Every co-host is funny. Every show is good. I don't think we've had a bad show. Even when I think they're bad, I think they're still pretty good. That's cocky, but true. So head over there and we'll see you there. And that's the episode. We hope you loved it. Again, if you want to hear this show every single day, go to www.patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. You can also follow me on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the things. Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. I'm running myself into the ground for content, and I want you to be a part of it. So we'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. Bye, guys.